Has your healthcare practitioner or doctor ever mentioned anything about your lymphatic system? Most likely not, and yet it's important. It's as much a part of our body as the arteries or liver or heart. Grace Dudinsky, director of Vater Schools International, which provides the original Vater method of manual lymph drainage training, is here to shed a light. I'm Robin with Tributaries. Grace, it's kind of shocking that still the lymph system pretty much goes unnoticed in the medical world.
Yes.
Do you know of a reason for that before we start moving into actually what the lymphatic system does, since most people don't really even know?
I would say that anything that requires prescription, drugs, surgery, that's where most of our medical attention tends to go to. Currently in the lymph world, we are just starting to get into surgeries and having at least 10 years of data to kind of look at the surgeries. That's what seems to be getting, I think, more of the attention of the general public, whereas other conditions that require medication and surgeries have just been on the radar for, you know, decades. So the lymphatic system, because not much has been able to be done by it either than therapy and compression garments, the lymph system has been kind of given a back seat.
Yes, it's in the back seat. And yet, wasn't it Dr. Drinkers in Harvard between the 30s and 50s or something? He was on it back then. And certainly Dr. Vater was as well. And that's where we're certainly going to lean today. Can you give us a brief synopsis of what the lymphatic system does in the body and where is it and how it works and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So our lymphatic system is a two-part. One, it creates antibodies, and one, it's a filtration system. So we've got about 600 to 1,000 lymph nodes in our body, and in where the lymph nodes are, you kind of think of it like the grate in your sink. It collects debris that we need to then remove. It's a place where your initial lymph vessels, you know, kind of like the street of a map of a city, all the streets kind of come together and it verges onto, say, onto a highway. And that's where we've got the lymph nodes. Where those lymph nodes are is where we have cleaning of the different waste products that are sitting there. But it's also a place where antibodies are made. So it's an important twofold system. It's there to help our immune system, but it's also to remove waste products. Because our body does filter 6 to 8 liters of lymph fluid in a day, if we've got roadblocks, like if we're thinking of streets leading onto a highway, onto a bridge, if we have an accident somewhere, that's going to then back up all of the streets that are trying to get to the focal point of the highway or the bridge until that accident is cleared. And a lot of times an accident is so dramatic, like a surgery or a tumor, we just have that backup of the lymph fluid that cannot get drained back in through the heart and out through the kidneys.
So are the lymphatic vessels side by side with blood vessels?
The lymph system works in conjunction with the venous system. So you've got your arteries that pump blood, oxygenated blood through the body, and your venous system is to bring the blood back to the heart to get oxygenated. So the lymphatic system works with the venous system to return fluid back through the capillaries to get reoxygenated through the heart, and then waste products is out through the kidneys and the bladder. So it's very important that you've got a good working venous system, and that's where we tend to have a lot of lymphatic issues is if someone has venous insufficiency, if they have valve problems, they have a hard time for that fluid to get moved back up. In those cases, you'll see a lot of people with swelling or edema in the legs because of a venous problem.
Right. So now would you say the venous problems are because the blood is thicker, because it has too many toxins? Or would you say that it's a system of needing more oxygen, or perhaps all of the above? I don't know. I read somewhere recently about the lymph system taking care of too many blood proteins or getting rid of, beside the toxins, it also works with blood proteins. Could you explain that a little bit?
In terms of the venous system, if you have a venous problem, it's more of a mechanical problem that you don't have the infrastructure in order to send blood back to the heart. So in the case of the problems with people who have a lymphatic issue, it to do with either not enough vessels to bring that fluid back, or we have issues where it's protein rich. So we've got the spaces, we've got the valves that need to open up in order to move protein and water out of the tissues and back up to be removed through the heart and through the kidneys. So it's more of a mechanical problem that we just don't have the functioning vessels to move those large protein molecules as well as the water up through the system. So I would lean it more towards that it's an infrastructure problem with our body, that we don't have enough working lymph vessels, or we have damaged lymph vessels, or we have obstruction.
And so when we're talking about the proteins, are these undigested proteins that are creating a problem, or does that go back to a malfunction in our digestion, or is this a totally separate thing, would you say?
Yeah, don't think about the proteins as I'm having a piece of chicken and that's protein. It's just to do with if everything's functioning properly, everything flows through the body and what we need is used and then what we don't need is taken away. So it's more that we've got a mechanical problem that's just not allowing some of those larger molecules, which are proteins, and they sit in the tissues. And when they sit in the tissues and they'll get removed, protein loves water and then it just attracts more water. So that's where patients may be diagnosed with, a disorder with fluid backing up and they are prescribed diuretics. And with diuretics, it removes the water. Well, that's great. But because of the mechanical problem that it can't move the proteins out because it's got a malfunction or an obstruction or not enough, you've got now the water removed. Now you've got protein concentrated in the tissues. And because protein loves water, it sucks even more water into the area. So if I have a patient that has swelling issues and they're on diuretics, if they're on diuretics because they have a heart or lung problem or kidney problem, totally, that's what's needed to be done. But if they have been prescribed diuretics because they just have swelling in their legs or their arm, it's going to do them a disservice down the road because the water's going to get sucked out, but more protein is going to concentrate and it's going to be a snowball effect down the road that they're just going to get more and more and more and more protein, and that will just attract more and more and more water.
So if I'm understanding, the lymph system will clear out the water as well. Is there something called, did I read about a dry state that you're looking for with a healthy lymph system?
So what a lymph system removes is called your lymph obligatory load. Again, the 6 to 8 liters of lymph fluid is old protein chains, dyes, viruses, all the waste products, all the sewage that needs to be removed by the body. So the lymph system is the grunt worker. It does all the yucky work. So when that is not removed, then we've got a backlog of these old protein chains, dyes, viruses, which is then a feeding ground for infections. Right. So that's where my lymphedema patients really have to be cautious to do with scrapes or cuts or burns, because if they get a cut and they get an infection, the bacteria says, oh, look at all this lovely lymph fluid that has waste products in it. And it just has this lovely infection, and that's not going to kill my patient. But if it leads to sepsis, that could really be a game changer for the patient, is that they are in a predicament where their system will just expedite the whole infection system because of the waste products of the stagnant lymph fluid.
Yes, and I definitely don't want to focus on what isn't being done here, but sepsis is such a growing problem these days.
Yes.
So is this being an opportunity? Hospitals are coming on board now because of it, perhaps?
Dealing with infections?
Yes, to do lymph work with people who are in sepsis all of a sudden in the hospital.
I would guess maybe in the United States, where you've probably got a little bit more access to lymph drainage therapists in the hospital system, not so much here in Canada where I am. But that was one thing that we definitely faced with the pandemic and with the shutdown.
Yes.
And not being able to work at the very beginning, is that 4 weeks into the pandemic and I'm stuck at home and I'm getting pictures sent to me by my patients who are normally on a maintenance program of having waste products moved out of their system. And they're sending me pictures of a red arm or a red leg. And they're saying, what do I do? And I'm saying, I'm so sorry. I have to send you to the hospital where you need IV antibiotics, which would have been under control if you were still able to see me, but because of the pandemic, they couldn't. And I'm sending them to where COVID is rampant because we were still in the early stages.
Yes.
So that's where I was able to start working 4 weeks into the pandemic as essential that our governing body said, hey, yeah, we really need to keep on top of infections because we don't want these patients having to, one, be exposed to the hospital system right now, or in the case of, say, my head and neck and throat cancer patient, swelling that I was able to keep under control so they could swallow was now getting to the point where, oh my goodness, they may have to be intubated. And in the pandemic, if you're intubated, the chances of things going sideways were just a lot larger. So I think the pandemic has really put a big spin on trying to keep patients maintained and that we don't get them to the point where they need to go on IV antibiotics so that they don't go septic. With any cancers or any traumas, depending on where it is in the body, if we aren't able to move that fluid that normally would pass up and filter through the body, if it starts to stagnate, whether it's the head and neck or esophageal, so we're getting compression on the vocal cords or swallowing or talking, or if it's my breast cancer patients with the swelling backing up into the breast or the abdomen causing breathing problems or arm swelling, or my pelvic cancer patients or traumas where fluid is backing up into the legs, affecting mobility. Depends on where the assault is in the body and where the impairment is. The backup will then have side effects of what other things happen in life because fluid isn't able to leave an area.
Emil Vodder is the man whose method that is taught worldwide, and obviously there are clinics as well. Could you share a little bit about his history? Did he seem to make insightful discoveries regarding the lymph system itself, or was he going with the information known in his day, and then he developed this massage technique?
So he started back in the 30s, Dr. Vodder and his wife. They started looking at the lymphatic system more for the immune system and the flu. So if he was alive today and with the pandemic, it would be probably quite a similar reaction to it. Like, how do we help the body in a state of major illnesses? But back in the 30s, looking more at how can we improve the body for dealing with immune reactions, and developed this gentle, specific technique that will help stimulate the lymph vessels to work more effectively. The lymph vessels work at a very slow pace. They pump maybe 2 to 3 times a minute. But with what he developed and figured out with 20 to 30 millimeters of mercury pressure, which is very, very light, not your regular massage, which will actually collapse the lymph vessels, but with dealing with very light pressure and in a specific direction towards where things drain to, which is what we call the terminus up above your collarbone, your clavicle, the lymph vessels would contract 7 to 10 times a minute for the time of the treatment and for a couple of hours afterwards. So working with that idea, we're stimulating the lymph vessels and working with patterns that found the most benefit for people feeling better, looked more at the results of the treatments going, oh, and during that treatment, the swelling that they had in this region seemed to go down. So that's the path that the Vodders, and then in conjunction with the Whitlingers, they developed the techniques and the patterns to stimulate the lymph system to be more effective in the time of the treatment and for a couple of hours afterwards. Unfortunately, it's something that doesn't repair itself 100%, that it always kind of constantly needs that assistance of the treatment and compression and exercise and skincare to kind of keep the area working and supported.
All right. So what do you mean it can't completely clear it out?
It can't completely repair itself. So if you have had a tumor and you've had surgery and you've had cuts, the cuts to the skin and into the tissue are going to make an impairment, a roadblock, where you're not going to have the replacement of what was destroyed replaced. So it's like you've got all these streets coming onto a bridge and you've had an accident. Well, it may be such a substantial accident that you're not going to be able to just remove the debris and the cars. You may have actual structural damage that may not be repaired. So you have to always continuously try and help support and move the fluid or the backlog through a detour. That's what we as therapists do all the time, is that, okay, we've got obstructions here. We've got cuts, tumors, radiation burns. I can't drain the fluid through this regular pathway. I need to be able to redirect it. And that's where we manually kind of move things in an area where there are vessels that are working that can help take some of the fluid away. And once the treatment's done, the body says, oh, okay, I'm going to go back to my normal pathway going down, Main Street and making a right-hand turn onto Heather Street because there's still that roadblock, and then the issue continues. So it's something that is lifelong for patients who do are diagnosed with lymphedema, is that they need to look after themselves because it's something that will need their daily care with their own exercise and compression, and then having the therapy that helps redirect some of the fluid just so they get the backlog of that swelling out.
Right. Hearing you speak like that is taking me up into the brain, for instance, where you have all of these neural pathways that, due to the neuroplasticity, they are able to redirect and create these new pathways, but the body won't do that with the lymph system.
With the lymph system, no. You may have some peripheral vessels that will repair themselves, but the deeper ones that get impacted by the surgeries or the tumors or the radiation, they don't tend to come back at all. And the scarring that comes with surgery and the scarring that comes from radiation, those just become permanent roadblocks for the lymph system to travel. If, like, the armpit drains, the breast, the abdomen, the arm, and the back, and you've got a patient who's just had a mastectomy and they've had radiation to the area and they've had cuts into the armpit where the nodes for the axilla and radiation to that area, that's a lot that are now so damaged that the fluid from the breast and the abdomen, the arm and the back converge up to where the scarring is, and it's like, oh, I can't filter back up. So it settles back down into the breast, it settles back down into the abdomen, into the arm and into the back.
Mm. So I would imagine that you try at all costs not to remove a lymph node, but it's the best call sometimes. Is that true or not true?
So with surgeons, and I guess surgeons over the decades, as things have improved, some of my patients 30 or 40 years ago when they would have had their mastectomies, they may have had like all of their axillary lymph nodes removed because they were just concerned of, okay, well, we're going to remove everything so the cancer doesn't spread, not knowing that this now has made a complex reaction of the fluid backing up in the body. As the years went on, they started developing, it's like, oh, well, maybe not all of the axillary lymph nodes are draining from the breast tissue. And then they started doing sentinel node removal. And they would inject dye, say, into the foot and let the dye travel up. And any of the nodes in the axillary area that lit up with the dye, they realized, oh, that was fluid that was coming down from the leg. We don't want to touch those. We just want to touch the ones that are actually coming from the breast tissue. So if there was cancer in the breast, those would be the ones that we would want to attack. So they have made improvements where they're not taking so many lymph nodes.
Beautiful.
They're taking fewer lymph nodes. But on the other hand, we don't know. We don't have that ability, especially in a life-saving surgery for cancer, we don't know how many working lymph nodes and vessels that person has before the cancerous surgery happens. So I may have a lot more lymph nodes than patient B. The same surgery is done. The way my body reacts is going to be different than patient B. So I've had patients that have had bilateral mastectomies and all their nodes removed and radiation and chemotherapy. They come to me for a look at their system to kind of get a baseline, and they have no swelling. A year down the line, no swelling. 10 years down the line, no swelling. Then on the contrast, I have someone who has a lumpectomy,
right,
no other innervation, but her system was a little bit less proliferating with the lymph vessels and lymph nodes, and she develops lymphedema within a couple of months.
Right.
So it's really hard to know who is going to get lymphedema and who isn't, because who knows underneath the skin, how many vessels do you have working? How many do you have, and how your body is going to react with that surgery and what your family history is?
I do ozone therapy for people, and I can tell people what can happen for them, but I can't say specifically to them because every body is different ultimately, and every body detoxifies differently. So it's always an experience to discover.
Yeah, no one person is the same. And when a patient comes in saying, do I have lymphedema? They're like, okay, you just finished your cancer treatment. You're still in active radiation. Your body is still going through the healing process. I need to wait at least 6 to 8 months after you're done all of your procedures to actually say what your body's going to do. But we can still support you right now.
Exactly.
We can still do, you know, education and, yeah, support all the other systems so that when the body says, okay, this is now my new normal, what does your new normal look like?
Right. But you can do the drainage treatment for people right away, can't you?
Right away, like right after surgery. If the patient can make it up the stairs to my clinic, come on in.
Great. From listening to you, I would say the genius of the drainage system is that it really does get it pumping at such a quicker rate to really make a difference there. Is there something you would call the genius of this method?
I think where the Dr. Vodder method, where Dr. Vodder started and where other programs have kind of branched off is that it is, one, extremely light, extremely specific. But it is also, with the Vodder methods being the golden standard, is that it is the directionality that we have, what we call our zero phase, is that we stimulate and move, but then we allow it in the correct direction to get up to the next level in order to be reabsorbed into the system, to be processed through the heart and the kidneys, where other programs, it's not as specific to allow the body and allow the lymph system to do the most beneficial thing that it can do. So I find that it's, one, it's the gentleness, the directionality, and then just with the therapist being recertified every 2 years, is that we're always honing our skills. You know, I personally have been treating for 30 years. I see 50 patients a week, and I just had my recertification in April, and I was corrected on, you know, on pressures on my hands, maybe with my bandaging, and I use it every day. So it's also that the therapists that are doing the treatment, that they are accountable for making sure that they keep their skills at the highest level so that we can do the best for the patient.
Well, I'm glad that the Vodder School is able to turn out practitioners, because we can't all see you. <You're>... Can you share a couple of things that can help someone keep a good, healthy lymph system rolling? You mentioned exercise before. Is there a dietary recommendation?
In terms of exercise, any muscle contraction is going to be helpful. Because the lymph system moves on a pump, breathing exercises are great. Deep abdominal breathing or meditation, patients going for Qigong or Taekwondo, where it's that breathing exercise that helps move things along. The best bang for your buck is hydrostatic pressure, so being in a body of water. So I usually get my patients, once everything's healed up and there's no chance for any infections, any open wounds, I send them to the swimming pool and I get them to walk in the water, water up to their clavicle, because that's where the terminus is. You want all that fluid to squeeze up, kind of like a tube of toothpaste. You want to squeeze from the bottom up. Water walking is actually, I find, better than swimming, because you are in, with walking, you're pushing your entire body through all that cubic feet of water. And I get them to go water walk twice a week for about 20 minutes. Just make sure that they go into the deeper end so the water's up to the clavicle. That really helps move the entire system, squeeze the whole system up with that hydrostatic pressure. Yoga within reason, to do with watching out what happens with the with pressure in the shoulders if they are breast cancer patients. So I get them to watch out that they're not doing downward dog or planks, watch out with child's pose. Coming to see a therapist, you can get what we want you to do to support, but that you don't put yourself in a position where you could damage the lymph vessels that you still have working. In terms of diet, again, it's the mechanical issue. It's the accident on the bridge that has all of the traffic backing up into the other streets. You should support your entire system so that your whole body is working, so everything in moderation. If you've got an allergy to gluten, your body is going to fight against that allergy. So if you remove the allergy from your system, then your body is going to not have to work so hard on the dietary. So then maybe the energy that it can do for the lymphatic system, it has a little bit more energy. Be moderate. Watch your salt intake. Watch your alcohol. Watch your caffeine. Support all of your systems so everybody can work harmoniously together.
Right. And I'm surprised I didn't hear you talk about the mini trampoline. That seems to be such a thing.
Well, the trampoline, if you were to, right now, with me sitting at my desk, if I was to stand up and start jumping up and down, and I would increase my heart rate, and I wouldn't be able to talk as much, that's great. But most of my patients that are coming in, they have one big swollen arm or one big swollen leg. They've been on chemotherapy, so they've got diminished bone density. The likelihood that they could probably fall down and hurt themselves, that's the higher on my scale to do with this. They're like,
of course.
I want patients to do things that are more controlled and safer.
Yes.
If that's all they've got in their home is a trampoline, just make sure you do it safely, that maybe you have one of those bars that you can hold on to. But any muscle contraction, any breathing exercise that's done safely within your health realm and within your, you know, your body's stability of mobility. Just know your limit, play within it.
Right, yes. I was thinking of the healthy person who wants to avoid some kind of lymph problem.
For the general public listening, you've got to be your own advocate for your own body. Look at the practitioners that you're researching to see and just make sure that who you're seeing is going to give you what you need for your particular health concerns. And in terms of other practitioners out there that are wanting to change up what direction that they're doing, it is so hugely beneficial as a practitioner working with people's lymphatic systems, whether it's more just on the general health, just to get everything moving, it in helping your lymphatic system, working with your immune system, working post-pandemic. So many people that are going to need, with their body being inundated with either the virus or with the vaccines, to just have general health, just to have good clearing of the body, just give the body's chance to recover mentally and emotionally through what we've gone through the last 2+ years. So blessed that I have this to offer to people, because they are so grateful when you're able to give them that help that no one else can give them.
Many thanks to Grace Dedinsky, director of Vodder Schools International. For anything tributaries related, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. Podcasts are where you like them, and if you can't find us, just let us know. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for tuning in.